welcome to the Kayak Fishing Radio Show. We got the double L edition tonight. The show is so much fun that we have to have two hosts on this version. You almost have to with the clowns in the chat room and everything that's going on already tonight. The show hasn't even started, and apparently some of our listeners in the chat room have figured out there's other buttons other than the letters to type. So now we have a whole umbrella, holy cow, a whole rainbow just threw up all over the screen with all the colors going on in the chat room. So have to see if we can tone that down for the next show. Chris, what's going on? You keeping them all in check down there?
It's a kindergarten. It's going to be difficult. Now they're playing with color and sizes, too. It's terrible. I'm going to be blind before the show's over with.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to come up with a whole new nuance of shaded colors to give out.
They'll have to go back to the old monochrome screens or something.
Yeah, wow. Oh, wow. And Mr. Choi just chimed in now, too. This is going to be lovely. Lovely.
Yeah, the chat room. Chat room's still filling in, so everybody grab a seat. Like our guest tonight, Papa Top. Woody's already here. He's on the phone with us, so we'll get to him shortly. Y'all sit back and relax. We got a lot going on. If anybody wants to call in, got any questions for tonight's guest or anything they'd like to share with the show, please don't hesitate to give us a call, or you can also add your questions here to the chat room. The phone number is 714-816-4727. Like I said, if you got anything you want to share, questions once we get to Woody or anything like that.
I don't know about the sharing part, honey. I don't know. I'm looking at the crowd in the chat room. We might not want them to share much of anything tonight. We just much rather assume they listen.
Yeah. Let's how about we share fishing and kayak-related things. All the other stuff we'll keep in the text version in the chat room, and be glad that doesn't tag along with the podcast when it uploads. All right. Yeah, I'm reading here. I'm sorry. I was reading in the chat room. Woody Gator Dave in Florida said he's got a PBR for you. So
I'm sure Woody is.
He's my PBR buddy.
Tall Boy Tuesday, right? Tall Boy
That's
Tuesday.
That's right. He knows how to relax.
There you go. All right, well, let's run through our usual stuff so we can get to Woody and get him all locked in for tonight. So what we got going on? Well, of course, we're always going to talk about now and every night, probably on every show, because it's coming closer and closer. And I know our guest is even planning on attending this one, the Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. That was like almost in sync. Awesome. So the boondoggle, unless you've been living under a rock or this is your first night tuning in to Kayak Fishing Radio, any one of the editions, boondoggle is nothing more than what the little soundbite right there from Steve Chapman said. Is it's just a bunch of kayak anglers getting together. There's no entry fee. There's no tournament. There's no hoopla involved. We're all just going to fish for 3 days straight here in Virginia Beach. You don't have to fish for all 3 days. You can come whenever you'd like. But we've got a list started. It's been signed up for a while now on yakangler.com/boondoggle. Please go on there and register that you're going to be attending. We got to start getting headcounts now. We got a great restaurant lined up to provide dinner for Saturday night, so we need to start getting some real good numbers on who's all going to attend. So if you go to yakangler.com, you can also go to this site, kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle, to get information, and there's also a thread on Tidewater Kayak Anglers, but we really want everybody to use the yakangler.com/boondoggle. Just so we can keep all the registrants in one area. So, but anyway, we got a lot planned. It's going to be a great weekend. We're really looking forward to it and excited.
Can I make my announcement now?
Well, I was going to give you your drum roll, but okay.
Chris has an announcement. No, go ahead. You keep talking then.
So we got a lot planned. Like I mentioned, Chris has lined up a great restaurant, Salty Seas, which is like a walking distance from the Crab Creek launch, where probably a majority of us will be fishing most of the time and launching from. We're getting a lot of sponsors, a lot of raffles starting to come in. Lined up a few more last week. What else have we got going on? Don't forget to bring your Snoopy pole or your Barbie pole or your Ronco pocket fisherman. We're going to have a little tournament going on with those little toy rods. The biggest fish caught on the toy rod, you got to enter it, but the biggest fish caught on the toy rod is going to be a 50-50, so 50 of it will pay back to you, the winner, and the other 50 is going to go to Heroes on the Water. So you guys make sure you bring a little, like I said, the pocket fisherman, the Spider-Man pole, whatever you want to call it. Steal your kids, bring your kids anyway. Make sure you bring an extra fishing pole for them so you can use it on that tournament day. I don't know which day that's going to be. And as mentioning how, we're going to try to have a get-together with the local How Heroes on the Water Tidewater chapter so we can get on the water with those guys. So there's a lot going on. And as Chris was just alluding to, she's got a special announcement she wants to make. So she lined up. I wasn't there, but... And
wow.
From the news desk in the living room, live.
I am so proud of you. You actually hit a button. Oh, my God. Well,
took me a while to find them.
Well, it seems I retained a baker for special boondoggle cake. Debbie Thunder. Debbie Thunderhyden will be making a boondoggle cake. This, I mean, if you haven't had any of Debbie Thunderhyden's cake, this alone is going to be worth the trip. So, but she's confirmed, she's available. So Debbie Thunderhyden, who also happens to be the wife of Tommy V, who's not here for some odd reason, who is the chapter leader of Tidewater House.
Hey, where is old Tommy V?
I don't know. Must they're not here, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Must be a croaker bite going on somewhere.
Well, it has to be Big Croaker.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, Debbie Thunderhyden, she made a cake for Chris's son for his birthday, and we've actually got to take some of her other bakery goods, and that's going to be a good cake. So there you go. That's not enough reason to come up here. Great fishing, great food, great cake.
People.
Get to meet some of the people you've been chatting with in the chat rooms on the Kayak Fishing Radio, Yak Angler. It's going to be a great event. So, y'all mark your calendars. Come on up. If you need any help with anything, getting your accommodation set up, or I've been having a lot of people texting and email me about tackle to bring and things like that, don't hesitate to do that. Get in touch with Chris or myself, and we'll be glad to try to give you anything we can to line you up.
Just a friendly reminder, we're still looking for donations for our raffle. In particular, I am looking for items for a special women's and a special children's raffle bag. So by all means, please send us a message on Facebook. We'd be more than happy to send you our address.
You're going to put special women and kids in a bag? What did you just say?
No, for the raffle, for the raffle, honey.
Oh,
I'm trying to... We've been very fortunate. Russell Ham, one of our local HOW volunteers, also TKA member, has made some awesome, what are they called, survival strap bracelets?
Yeah, paracord bracelets.
Paracord bracelets. So one, I've got one already for the woman's bag. He also donated one for the children's raffle bag. Those are ultra cool. So.
Very cool. Yeah, so we got a lot of things going on. We got Rob Choi and Kayak Kevin who volunteered to take some people out to the Bay Bridge Tunnel. Rob and Kevin are going to want to get with those individuals, though. Not to say that everybody's not a great angler, but that bridge is not always the most friendly place to be at times. So, but they'll make sure you guys are worthy of going or not. And don't be offended if they say Nate to you. Don't be. It's not, like I said, it's not for the faint sometimes out there at that bridge, especially on the weekend, but
we will
a lot of good fishing
fish
to be had.
What kind of fish mount, Chuck? Chuck just put in the chat room, we will have a fish mount as a prize as well. What kind of fluke? Watch, it's going to be flounder. Rob Choi's also donating a print. He's also volunteered to show us how to make those fish prints with that unpronounceable name.
That's right. Rob's in the chat room tonight, too. So there's going to be plenty to do here. There's probably going to be more stuff to do than time, it's sounding like. So you just make sure you bring all your Red Bull and energy drinks with you, too, because we're not going to sleep much, it sounds like. But it's going to be a blast. So please mark your calendars. Come on up. The week prior to that is the 8th annual Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association Tournament. If you're not familiar with that, go check it out at tkaa.org. There's a whole list on link there for the tournament. Great event. I've been talking about that for a while now. We've had over 250 anglers last year. It's going to be a lot of fun. So maybe you can swing. I got a couple people I know that have already talked about. They're trying to weasel into taking some vacation time and coming for TKA, bringing the family down and staying for the whole week, doing the boondoggle and heading back home. So if you got it like that, well, come on out. We'll be glad. So I'm sure Chris and I could be sick a couple of days during that week, too, and fish with you. But should be a lot of fun.
I don't know. My boss is kind of sick of hearing me. I'm going fishing.
Yeah, she'll be all right. We'll take her one day, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else we got? Well, we'll get to the fishing report so we can get to Woody, because I got a feeling once we get to our guest tonight, we're going to burn up some time with the questions and all the intel we got to share with you guys tonight. So, fishing reports. We'll start with our North Carolina report. Again, Mr. Philip Ruckert, thank you. Philip from GetOutdoors.com has been gracious to supply us with the North Carolina report for quite a while now. He wasn't sure if he sent me one this week or not, but he did, so I'll go ahead and read that and get that over with. The New Bern to Neuse River, striper, striper, striper. So apparently you can catch striper somewhere in the New Bern and the Neuse River. Early morning topwater bait is still happening. Topwater bait. Sorry, cold medicine.
Said
cold medicine. The early morning topwater bite is still happening around the bridges and pylons. So that's down and dirty and simple. Thank you, Philip, for that one. All right, the lower news to Pamlico Sound. The tarpon bite has been intermittent, but with good numbers of menhaden and shrimp, red drum in the sub to 50-inch range are falling for soft bait fish, plastics on jig heads, and shrimp imitations under corks. Chuck Wren, you listening to that? Lots of small specks and puppy drum continue to be found along the shorelines with a few 20-inch-plus specks mixed in. And on the coast, we got Moorhead to Buford. The big story has been large speckled trout, up to and over 25 inches, concentrated around the jetties. Live and artificial shrimps are working well, he says. Good number of flounders are being caught, drifting mud minnows and bucktail jigs with the falling tide to the intercoastal waterway. The biggest flounder are best found off the port wall with mud minnows or live menhaden. Then on the freshwater side, a recent cold front has seemed to disrupt good-sized largemouths from feeding aggressively. Finesse tactics led to the biggest fish landed this past weekend. So that's our report from Philip Ruckert with Get Outdoors. If you're not familiar with Get Outdoors in Greensboro, North Carolina, go check them out. Great shop down there. And we thank you again, Philip, for supplying us with that North Carolina report every week. Here locally, it's fish on. It's been great. We had kind of a bad weekend last weekend weather-wise, but it's pretty good right now, and that's what makes me really excited for this upcoming boondoggle. As good as the fishing is now, I can only imagine when that fall, early fall, late summer bite starts to happen, it's going to be really good. So locally at the bridge tunnel, everything you want out there, flounder, spade, sheephead, trigger. Getting a lot of good catches of those coming in from the bridge. Rob Choi put up a nice little report on his blog yesterday of his flounder and sheephead. Looking really good. Then inshore, same thing, reds, tons of rat reds. If you want to go out and catch rat reds, take the little ones out. There's just little reds all over the place. Are starting to be some larger numbers of inshore reds I have seen. But still, the little rat reds are everywhere. So I know the guys in the Howe event we had last weekend in Rudy Inlet just hunkered up down an oyster bar in the grass, and they just sat there, and they were almost, it seemed like every cast, at least somebody or two or three had a little red in. So it's stripers are starting to show up already. I've seen a little more striper action than I'm used to this time of year with the heat, which is good. Speckled trout, flounder, everything the same. From Lynn Haven North, you can't go wrong, I don't think, right now. You're going to catch something good, decent. Croaker. Spots. The yellow belly should start showing up. So when them spots start showing up, all you real dedicated, hard-charging flounder fishermen, when them spots start showing up, really good numbers, time to switch over to live baiting for those big flounder out around the bridge and the tunnel drop-offs and stuff like that. That's the best time. Good medium-sized spot will definitely get a flounder pretty excited. Speaking of all that,
you should mention, for some odd reason, people are catching puffer fish.
Yeah, we've got a lot of puffer fish being caught. I don't know what's up with that. Just cyclic like everything else around here, just like our Pompano years. Ocean View Pier, for some reason, used to be a great spot, but it's every 3-4 years we'll get a big run of Pompano up here. Tarpon, same thing. It kind of all rotates. But, yeah, I've never seen that many puffer fish caught locally, or people are just, I don't know what the deal is. You caught one inside Lynn Haven. That's the first time in all my years I've ever seen one caught inside Lynn Haven.
You know, not necessarily that I would go out and target one, but they're pretty funny to catch. You know, they puff up, they make a lot of noise. It's actually pretty cool.
Those of them are good eating, too. I don't know.
If you eat the right part.
Yeah, if you eat. Well, that's not here. I checked into that, and people are probably wondering. But I know there's puffer fish out there that are poisonous. But, yeah, I guess that's like an Asian strain of them or something. But, yeah, the puffers that are here, I guess, are okay. So, very cool. I want to talk about this real quick. This is upcoming weekend. I know a lot of people in the chat room are going to be a part of this. Well, not a lot, I should say, but several of the people in the chat room. We have a local tournament that's going on. And just to share with all of our kayak anglers listening tonight, the local tournament is called Catching for Kids. It used to be the CCA Club Challenge. Now it's the Catching for Kids Club Challenge, where the event raises money for Toys for Tots for kids at Christmas time. But the reason I'm telling you guys this story is because it's usually about 8 to 10 clubs entered in this event throughout Virginia. If you have a club that's established in the state of Virginia, you can enter the tournament. Each club is allowed to put up to 4 boats in, and that's boats, power boats, with up to 4 anglers and a captain. Or the captain can fish, and then it's only 4 anglers. Us as kayak anglers, we've been in the event for, I don't know how many years now, quite a few years now, and we're doing it again this Saturday. And the reason I'm telling everybody this is because we're pretty excited and pretty happy as a club, because we've never came in anywhere as better or worse, whichever way you look at it, than 6th place. Last year, I believe we went tied for 4th place, Chris, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good feat for a bunch of guys in kayaks, guys and girls in kayaks, I should say, that are all fishing against power boaters. And we've always come somewhere in the middle of the pack. We've never been in last place, so it's pretty fun. So.
You know, it's pretty funny, and this is my 3rd year of fishing it, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, or maybe should encourage some more of our female members to fish it. This will be my 3rd year as the only female kayak angler fishing this. We did not have another woman sign up. I'm not sure why that happened. We have many accomplished female anglers in our club. I'm not sure why nobody's interested in signing up for it. It's a really cool event. To a good cause, I can't say otherwise, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't know why either, but I think a lot of times just for tournaments in general, people get intimidated by the word tournament or something. But anyway, Joe says he knows why, but anyway. Well, that's all I really got to share locally. I don't know if there's anything else coming up that nobody shared with us to bring out there. What am I missing? Oh, yeah, real quickly, the Chesapeake Bay Kayak Anglers is having their tournament on September 7th through 9th. So if you guys are up in the upper Bay region, Maryland, D.C. area, ChesapeakeBayKayakAnglers.com, go check them out. They got a tournament coming up here shortly, September 7th through 9th. So I think that's all I got. Real quick, I wanted to say, too, a little shout-out. I don't know if he's listening tonight, but a good friend of ours, Don Lancaster, is going in for another round of surgery I believe it's Friday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's coming
Tuesday.
Up. What's that?
I thought you said Tuesday.
So today? Maybe it was today then. So anyway, we'll just... Don, if you're out there, good luck to you, buddy. Get well. See you on the water soon. All right. Well, tonight's guest, as everybody probably already knows from seeing all the posts we've been putting up, is a repeat offender on the show, Woody Calloway. And we're having Woody back tonight to talk about a couple of things, but the main thing is going to be the release of the new boat that Native's got out. And I've been getting a lot of pings, people asking me questions, so I thought, well, what the heck, let's see if we can get Woody back on the show and get it straight from the horse's mouth and answer some of those questions everybody's been asking about the boat. I have to say I'm very honored and privileged when this new kayak, because Chris and myself have got to work with the company and help develop it, and it's one thing. I don't know how it works at all the other kayak manufacturers, because I don't work with the other kayak manufacturers, but one thing that I'm really impressed and proud to be a part of Native is the fact that they actually go out and ask for input before they just go out and build a kayak. And they keep working on that input until they get the kayak to what they believe and what the people they're asking believe is the level of boat that they want to put out there before they just throw it out. Which all brings me to the point where I had a question. Somebody asked me, how did you guys sit on this boat for 7 months? It wasn't easy. It was hard. Because I knew right off the bat when the first prototype came out of the mold, I got the chance to fish it in Florida. And I believe Neil Taylor and myself were the first two on the program. Is that true, Woody, that got to fish it that wasn't out of the factory?
Yeah, that was the first prototype, and you guys really helped. You you know, one of the things we left from that with that, and both of you guys were like the layout, like this. You guys got to quieten down the hull some. So went back to the drawing board, and that's what happened. So, yeah, it's, first of all, Mark and Chris, thanks for having me on the show. But it's been a really interesting time developing this boat, because there's so many great fishing kayaks out there. And with guys like you and Neil and Steve Gibson and just our pro staffers, not only that, but we opened up the design to, on our Facebook site, we have this thing, we call it Automatic for the People, where people have a voice. What do you want? And, you know, what the Slayer is an interpretation of what people wanted us to do. And we're real excited about it. It's been well received at the first two shows, and I think it's going to do well for us, and I certainly hope people enjoy it. But it's really fun, that the question about how do they sit on it so long. Well, to be honest with you, it's hard. I mean, you want to spew and you want people to see it, but it's one of those things in an industry like this that you got to keep it a secret as long as you can. Just for you. While we love everybody, it's just, you got to keep it secret from the competition until it's time to roll with it. So, but we're excited about it. It's great. The response so far has been phenomenal. We've got one more show up in Killington, Vermont. We're going to show it at for dealers, and then, to be honest, I'm coming back down to see you guys and do some fishing.
Let's check it out. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Very cool. So just to go back, and maybe not the Slayer in general, but, I mean, I've been to the plant, which the plant has moved, and we can talk about that a little tonight if you want to, about the move and all. But for our listeners and this in general, so what is it, where do you start? How does that start? Because I guess that's something that, no matter what you're building, whether it's a whitewater kayak or a fishing kayak or whatever the case, where did you guys, and you can use the Slayer for an example if you'd like or not, but how do you start that whole design, what are you going to do, process, the molding, and how does that work?
Well, first thing, it really starts out with, I think particularly with us, is we look at our lineup and we go, what do we need in our line, or what's that next boat? And you're always looking down the road, and we're looking down the road 2 years at the least about what we can afford to come out with and develop. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, will, for even on our own Facebook site, you know, the native Facebook site, people are like, oh, it looks like a coosa, or it looks like a this, and it looks like a combination. You know, you do in this industry, and trust me, we're not the only ones. I was at a show today, and a guy came up and was like, looking at a different boat, not the Slayer, and he's like, yeah, you know, I was over at Jackson, and they had one of this boat in the R&D shop. So it's pretty common that you see good ideas, and then you put your own spin on it. But in developing a boat, you start out with this, you got to start with the hull. And we are very good friend of mine and partner, Shane Benedict, has been designing. Mm-hmm. While he has been designing, he's very adaptive. If you say I want it faster or if I want it stable, he's really, really talented in coming up with the hull to do what we're asking or the consumer or the pro staff's wanting to do. And then, you know, while a lot of us are like come from a whitewater background at Legacy, we know hulls and we know what we want to do. But to be honest, it was really great with the Slayer particularly to get the feedback from you guys to go doing a lot of fishing. I've done a lot more fishing in the last year than I have in my whole life. And then just open it up to the public and go, what do you guys want the deck to be like? You know, we were asking about a front hatch, and a lot of the feedback we got was like, well, as fishermen, if I put something in a hatch up front, I can't get to it. It's pretty much, I mean, I can put a life jacket or a first aid kit, but if there's something I need or if I want a cooler or a fish bag up there, it's useless. So, you know, we just listen to you guys, and we listen to the public on our Facebook page. And again, you guys developed the boat. It was it really helped a ton. And I think you guys are going to like it. Well, I certainly think it's cool.
Yeah, well, the reason I asked that, I mean, obviously nobody here saw it, but that first boat you showed up with, I mean, that thing came right off the trailer that day, right out of the factory. I mean, I know you're late. Actually, the trip down to us was delayed a little because you wanted to bring that with you, and it came right off the trailer looking like it could have probably been sold that day. I mean, it was pretty
well. Yeah, well, you know, you start out with a computer, and you take that computer file, and we send it to a guy like in Winston-Salem. Actually, I went to college with a guy. And he has a CNC, a five-axis CNC machine, so that it can kind of get any shape carved out you want out. And it's called carving foam, and it's kind of dense foam. And you know, it comes to you. And then we're in this industry, and I've been in it a long time. We are probably. Well, I know we are. We're the best at making prototype molds, and you make a prototype mold out of fiberglass. It's not easy to do. And you also have to take into consideration when you're starting that while it's a prototype, it's probably not going to come out exactly true to form. But so that first one you guys saw, that was the first prototype we did. We made it out of plastic because that allows us to see how the boat is going to shrink. Because in every boat that you're producing, you have to figure in at like a 3% shrink rate, and that 3% shrink rate also it has to do with the shape of the boat. Some areas just because of shape will shrink a little more. So it's really, for us, it's invaluable to be able to make really good prototype molds. And then you make the boat out of that prototype mold, And then that's immediately I got that thing and I took it down, met you and Neil down in Florida. I was like, hey, guys, what do you think? And you guys had some very good ideas, and we did we changed some things on the deck that, that you guys had suggested. And but the main thing with that first one was you guys were like, you got to make the hull a little quieter. And we were like, all right, cool, we got it. And so, you know, you take that information, and actually on that same trip, you missed him, but Shane actually came down, took it out, and because we'd paddled on the lake, and it was just like a flat lake, and before we went down there, and it was just super quiet, and it was just sleek feeling. But then we got it in chop down there with you guys, and it was just it was too much hull slap. So we had to go back and redesign that hull, particularly the bow area, filling in, and so it would split the water a little more. And
right.
So that's kind of the process, man. And you know, we made two more prototypes, and we paddled them. We had some local people, Philip Rucker and Mark up in Greensboro. And that's our process. We're not the company that just goes, hey, here it is, guys, go buy it. But we kind of take it to the people and get a lot of knowledge and start from scratch. And here, till you get to the final product that you're satisfied with, you know.
All right. So I noticed the other burning question I've had from a million people is, when are they coming out, Woody?
Well, right now, the 12, the mold's in, the 14 mold came in. Now, the thing about that is that you think that, oh, the mold's here, it's ready to roll. It'll take about 3 to 4 weeks just to kind of break a mold in, so to speak. It's really common, even when I was down at Perception back in the days, you know, you get a new mold in, you got to tweak it because molds are cast. So you might have a thick spot here. We have to run product. We'll have to run a boat, and then we measure it. And when I say measure it, I'm talking about the thicknesses. Mm-hmm. And then you might have a spot that's thick here and thin there. It takes a while to figure out how to move that plastic so that you can get as close as you can to an even keel of thickness from side to side, end to end. So it takes a little while. And then the other thing is particularly with the Slayer, we got some new deck fittings, like bungee attachments that we worked on. They're being finished up. So while we've got those molds in, it's going to be probably, honestly, October 1 before we're shipping them. Just we got to get that mold tuned in, both those molds tuned in, move the plastic where we want it. And it's kind of wild how that works, because the way it works is as the mold heats up. Now, I don't know why it does this, but I'll tell you what it does. As the mold heats up inside an oven, the plastic that you put in there, it looks like colored sugar. That's what it feels like and looks like, dry. It kind of turns into a gel. And I don't know why, but it's rotating inside of the oven, and then it's also the entire oven is rocking end to end. It's a huge oven. And what you're trying to do, as that mold heats up, the plastic inside wants to adhere to the heated sidewalls. So you're really just making coating. It doesn't look like it when it's done, but you're really making coating after coating after coating for a period of like 40 minutes. And the tilt of the oven and how fast you're rolling it inside determines where that plastic goes. For instance, if you've got a thick mold, that means when if there's a spot that's thick, that means that plastic's not going to start adhering to that area as soon as it would be a thinner part of the mold. So then we have to, like, and the only way we can tell how to move the plastic around for the final product is make one, and we've got this, like, little meter that you can put on there, put a little glycerin on it, and it measures thickness. And so then we have to go, all right, it's thicker here, it's thinner there, how do we get that plastic over there? And sometimes it's as simple as, like, we need more plastic over here. We paint that area of the mold with, like, black paint, and it starts heating up a little sooner. And so there's more to it than just like, oh, the mold's here, let's start making them. It takes a while. I remember when I was at Perception Kayaks in the 90s, it was really common back then. They didn't have – things have gotten better, and there's a lot more knowledge. But back then, I can remember the first – first 30 boats were trash until they got the mold really dialed in and how to cook it. So it's
somebody
not as simple as just like it comes in and you're ready to make them. It's not the way it works. I wish that's the way it worked, but it's definitely not. You got to learn that each mold and each one of them is different.
Somebody was asking earlier in the chat room, can you reuse the plastic from the boat?
Yeah, if we, you know, a lot of, you can recycle it. We're using super linear, and it's the best plastic on the market. There's no doubt about it. I was down at the plastic manufacturer in Houston.
I'm trying to
Burago,
find that video right
this,
now.
This,
yeah, I'm trying to find that video now to put it up in the chat, but go ahead.
So, you know, and so it's a linear plastic. It's a plastic that the world wants, and it has been a lot of development into it. Any kind of scrap or if a boat comes out for whatever reason bad, we cut it up and we have a grinder. And we grind it up into, like, chunks that are the size of, like, half of a dime. And what we do with that, we can't reuse it because we need to – boat manufacturers should be using virgin plastic. But we can just sell that regrind back to the manufacturer. And, for instance, you could make kayak seats out of it. You could make other plastic toys. In other words, we don't reuse it, but we recycle it, and it becomes another product that's somewhere down the line.
Gotcha.
But we're as far as manufacturing goes, we're a very green company. For instance, one of the things we do, a lot of whitewater boats have foam pillars in it, and you cut out, you have a lot of scrap. One of the things we do with that is we sell a lot of it to a company called Astral Buoyancy that makes life jackets, but they don't use it in life jackets. They make these killer dog beds, and so that it ends up inside dog beds.
Well,
but we try to be as green as possible, but as far as like reusing it into a boat, once it's kind of heated up, it's a little bit not as strong probably, but we just resell it, and it is recycled.
Cool.
And we recycle a lot of, we recycle boats for people that have just beat them up and they don't know what to do with them. They don't want to put it in the landfill. We'll grind that up for people and send it off.
Cool. That's awesome.
Very
That's
cool.
A great thing to know. I didn't know you guys did that.
Oh,
well,
yeah. We're pretty green up here in North Carolina, up in the mountains. We're pretty green folks.
Yeah, you're green all right, Woody. All right.
Yeah, I'm green when I get out and trying to fish, huh?
Yeah, you're red when you got to sleep under jets all night.
Dude, I'm getting better, dude. I'm gonna be ready to enter me some tournaments next year, son.
We'll get you on the circuit.
You can fish the kitty rod tourney. You can't go wrong with that one, Woody.
Hey, I think I'm more of a boondoggle fishing party guy.
Well, you're coming, right? You said you're coming.
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming to the boondoggle.
That's right. That's right. Well, we'll get the PBRs ice and cold for you before you get
yep.
here.
Didn't
I really say about the Slayer. I hope people like it. I mean, one of the things that kept coming over and over is people wanted to sit on top Ultimate. And while you can't do the hall the same way, the same shape as the Ultimate, we knew that they wanted something that you could stand in. They wanted that high-low seat, which is really, you know, I'll give the Jackson guys, that was really kind of a game changer. It's really smart, but the Slayer is not copying anything. It is our interpretation of what you and the other pro staffers wanted. And one of the biggest compliments at the OR show was actually, I don't know if how many of you guys know this guy. I think he's pretty famous. He's a cool guy. Chad Hoover came, and he and I talked a lot, and Chad was just like, I don't know if you guys know, but he's opening up a store outside Nashville. And Chad Hoover came and just sat in the booth a long time. He's like, dude, that boat is awesome. I want it in my store, and I want to sell it. And so coming from Chad, that was a huge compliment.
He called me right after you guys talked, I guess, because he was itching to tell me about it. So that's very cool.
He was awesome. He was in the booth just like, God, you guys nailed it on the head. So we hope we did. We'll see. I think people will like it.
Somebody asked me earlier if any river tests with the Slayer and up to what class. So have you had anybody put it in the rivers yet and try it out?
Well, we're river people, and I've already had it down the river. I mean, it tracks, particularly the 12-footer. It'll track fairly well, but it turns really well. And that's the thing that Shane is, like, incredible at. Knowing that the 12 is going to be kind of both, you know. Number one, a 12-foot boat is the most popular length. And you got people that want it to track on flat water, and you got people that want it to turn and dodge rocks. So, you know, capability, particularly with the seat in the low position, could you go down class 3? Absolutely. You need to know what rivers do. When I say class 3, you know, coming from whitewater background, is it maneuverable enough? Absolutely. But, you know, again, you know, we've got that bucket up front. It has scuppers in it, but we're working on a cover for it also as an accessory. So, you know, class 2, not a worry. Class 3, yeah, but you better know what you're doing with any boat in class 3. You better know what you're doing, and so will it cross over into river and lakes? We certainly feel it will very easily.
Very cool. So what else is going on at Legacy? How's the move going? If everybody's not aware that you guys have moved from
our third oven, we've got three. Our third oven, our biggest oven, went online today, and it's been crazy. You know, it's been like a 2-month process of pulling one oven down, moving it, reinstalling it, getting it back up and running, training a new group of people to operate and assemble. And so we didn't really just like tear everything down at once. We did one of it at a time, brought it back online, then tore another one down. I think it was like 55, 8. Now this doesn't count the ovens, but just the parts and the pieces and the infrastructure, 55, 18 wheelers later, we're back in business. It's been a great process. The building itself lends its size for us to really design the manufacturing process from oven to assembly, parts and shipping. We've got the best flow and the most, it's going to be a lot more efficient flow in the manufacturing plant just because we have a big open room. In Greensboro, we were manufacturing in a building that we were actually kind of a, just using part of this giant building that was, so our manufacturing was like this crazy L-shaped thing. And we just had, we had people walking too much, you know. It wasn't as efficient as we're going to be now. So the move's been, it's tough, and you know, we do, trust me, I've been going to these shows, and you know, we dealers come up, why did you guys move in the middle of the season? And the answer to that is simple. We had to. We had no choice. You know, our lease was up. We had this building. We had to get in it. So it's been tough, but we tried to ship. I mean, I think we were really had like 2 weeks where we couldn't ship. We weren't up to speed on one oven. And one was torn down. So we had about 2 weeks, which is phenomenal. To only be down 2 weeks, but we're catching up. We should be caught up by the end of next week, back to where we should be. So it's been a lot of work. The guys there have just done an exceptional job. Bill and Shane and Brian and the whole new crew, the staff, the new employees that we have. We had great employees in Greensboro, but they're I guess, you know, anytime you're doing something like this, the new guys, they're super excited. A lot of them are fishermen. A lot of them are kayakers. A lot of them are mountain bikers. They're young, and they're super excited that they're making toys, and they love it. It's great to go out there and see people smiling and laughing, assembling boats. It's been absolutely phenomenal, to be honest. But there's definitely a lot been going on, I can tell you that.
Well, that whole town there, though, that's where Astral is, and I saw that, Sierra Nevada just came there, and New Belgium Brewery, so there must be a lot happening in Astral that we're not aware of other places.
Huh? And then there's another brewery like that, Dales. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Dales, but they're moving here. But, yeah, you know, Asheville, I heard somebody say recently that, you know, they come to visit, and they're like, wow, Asheville's kind of like Seattle 30 years ago, you know. It's got a laid-back feel. It's surrounded by beautiful mountains, and there's a lot of outdoor recreation here, from fishing rivers to fishing lakes to mountain biking, hiking, climbing, kayaking, all it's all right here, you know. For instance, I go out in my backyard, I can kayak on class 1, 2 up to class 5, runs every day of the year because it's dam controlled. And I just found out a friend of mine's putting a zip line, $1 million infrastructure in, that's going to end up at my backyard. I'm like, sweet.
A mail call.
Exactly. I'm like, so it's all working out really well. And, you know, it's just, Asheville's just a cool place, you know. So it really, this is a great community. And we know that the future of our business is to hire youth. And it's just, we feel it's just a easier, because of so much recreation around here, that college graduate and whatever it may be, if they're interested in the outdoor, it's just easier. It's an easier sell for them to want to come here and work than, you know, love Greensboro, but just to be honest, Greensboro is in the middle of the state and it's pretty hot. It's a great area, but it's hot.
How did Mike take the move? I guess Mike moved down there, right?
Yeah, actually, Mike's at the house today. He and Kim just went outside. Mike is, he loves it. You know, Mike's a mountain biker, and
right.
I don't know if anybody knows, Mike's our sales manager and partner, and he's an entertainer also, plays guitar, sings, plays the drums, and there's a really killer music scene here. Not that there's not one in Greensboro, but So he's real excited. Everybody's super excited to be up here. This is where I've always wanted to live, and very lucky that it's working out, you know.
Very cool. Well, you tell Mike we said hello when he comes back in the house.
We'll do it. Anybody got, what are you, got any other questions?
I don't know. I'm just getting ready to put it on there. I'm trying to get everybody's moving.
I can't believe Rob's not has consumption.
Yeah,
I don't.
Gator Dave's not saying anything. He's just sitting there listening.
He's been talking.
You know, Mark,
he got all
Mark
excited. He lost his mind when he said PBR.
Yeah. Mark and I have been getting a lot of compliments on Gator Dave's shirt.
Yeah, Gator's gonna print us up some more shirts. I got you guys. I got you guys some light blue ones also.
They're awesome. Let me tell you, Mark will tell you. I hardly ever. I don't wear long sleeve shirts in the summer, but this shirt is awesome. I don't know. Did you see the pictures I put up?
Yeah, I did. They're I like. Yeah, they look great. I like the red. I hadn't seen one in red. That was awesome.
I don't have a red one.
This is. I got to tell you a funny story about Outdoor Retailer. One of the booths was Columbia, and you know they make great gear. Well, they had these little pieces of like sleeve that they were given to people to put on, and the marketing of it was sweat activated coolness. And they would put this sleeve of material on people's arm and spray it with water. I think I live in reality too much, but I'm like, well, dude, you spray cotton with water, it'll cool you down. I don't really know what's so special about that, but it's great marketing, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, somebody, well, here's one. Right. You got it, Chris.
Somebody is asking in the chat room, what's the weight capacity of the Slayer, the 12 and the 14?
We haven't really said it yet. We don't know. I mean, it's going to be in the plus 300 pounds for sure. You know, one of the things I would like to tell people that we did, you know, all sit-on tops have scuppers, and the whole idea, there's two reasons why you have scuppers. Number one, obvious reason is that water comes in, water goes out, like a self-bailing raft. But the other reason, and really for a manufacturer, the main reason is to give the boat structure. You can't really hang plastic like that and stand on it or sit on it without it wanting to crush. So you put these scuppers in for structure. Now, you know, one of the things we did with the Slayer, and I want people to really kind of think about this, is that we wanted this boat to be I don't want to say small, but low profile. And just to kind of keep the wind, reaction to wind down as much as possible. And in doing that, we've got to lower the foot pan, the floor pan. Well, if you lower the floor pan and you want to float a variety of sizes of people, you know, the common best thing to do would be just to make it super thick, but then you're standing up really high, then you got to make the boat really wide. We wanted this thing to be pretty sleek in comparison with a lot of the boats on the market currently. And, you know, we know that other thing we developed is, and I know this is going to sound like la-la, but we developed a new scupper plug. And the scupper plug, instead of it being shaped like a cone of ice cream and then you put it in and you've got one seal, this scupper plug has five different lips on it, in other words. So, it's, you know, it's going to seal the water out. And we're shipping this thing with our idea is to keep it low and use the scuppers. You know, if a guy's 260 pounds and he's in the Slayer and he doesn't have the scuppers in, water's going to come in it. So if you plug him, he's going to be fine. Does that make any sense? We wanted to keep the center of gravity while standing as low as possible without making a really chunky. And then the thicker you get, the taller you make those scupper holes, the wider a boat you have to make to get the stability. And so scuppers, this is a scuppered boat. Obviously, if you're going through waves and crashing out through the surf zone, you're going to pull them out and put them back in. But we kept the floor pan pretty low in this boat just to keep that center of gravity and fishability there without making a really heavy, chunky boat, you know.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Well, it makes sense to me. I can't ask everybody in the chat room, but they're not asking. Somebody was just mentioned, though, the handles, and that was something on the boat. I put the video up earlier of you and Shane at OR going over the whole boat with the handles on the side. That was a good idea, too. I really like that option, too. The handles.
We went with a hard handle. We did that years ago in Whitewater and changed the kind of the face of Whitewater for, and that was a safety reason. After you pick up as many kayaks sit on tops we do, you know, you start realizing that, you know, having a hard handle with foam around it, you don't get as much knuckle pressure, you know, like it folding over, the webbing folding over, and then the bow one's going cross from side to side instead of bow to stern facing. And really the reason by that is we started putting wheels on some boats like the Manta Ray, and this thing comes, the Slayer comes with a wheel. But the Manta Ray has a floppy webbing grab handle, and it's going bow to stern. So if you put your crate in there and you want to roll the thing, you can't control it. So by going crossways on the bow one, you can actually you can put your crate in there and actually control it and roll it. You know, so yeah. Thanks. I mean, they're very solid. Gives you another place to chain it on or cable it on if you want to leave it on top of your car. But they worked out great. They feel great.
Yeah, I can't wait. You got to hurry up and get over here so Chris and I can get on the water with it. Now we got the finished product, all that testing. I'm ready to get it wet.
Hey, I'm ready to fish off that thing myself. I've been talking about it for a week and a half. I'm ready to fish off the thing.
That's right.
Somebody wants to know the price point.
Well, the retail price will be $11.79 for the 12 and $12.79 for the 14.
Wow. That's a no-brainer there.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
Somebody was asking, is there any changes coming to the Mariner?
You know how we were keeping things secret with this thing? The one thing I would say is there's not going to be any changes to a Mariner but I will say, and I probably shouldn't, that, you know, it's going to be down the road. It'll probably be this time next year, but there'll be other pedal-driven fishing boats. If anybody corners me, I'm lying. I didn't say it. I heard it on a radio show. It's secret. But, once you have a boat, you know, you like the Mariner, to change anything or to change, it's pretty expensively impossible to do. It's better to go, all right, let's What do you want the next time? The next time we design, what are the attributes of the boat? And, you know, we're going to do the same thing. You know, when we start redesigning new pedal drive boats, we're going to you guys, just like we did with the Slayer. What do you want to change? What do you want? How big you want it? How heavy do you want it? Do you want it to be paddleable? Do you want it to be just pedalable? What do you want? What do you want the deck layout to be like? So we're really excited. We've got a, you know, the next time you see a pedal drive from us, it's going to be it's going to come from you guys. What do you want? And how do we improve what we got? And but right now, I got to tell you, the Mariners just, for us, you know, a lot of people go, everybody wants to compare it to something. Well, there's only one other pedal drive in the industry, and it's an awesome system. You know, there's no doubt Hobie's system is awesome. This is our system, and it's, you know, I have a lot of people, I have bikers, I go to these demos, particularly at OR, and people get in it, and they're like, I'm a biker, and they just start taking off on the thing, pedaling it like somebody's chasing them. And unlike a bicycle that you are propelling a round wheel, the faster you pedal a bicycle, the faster you go, boats have a hull speed. So you can pedal a Mariner faster, you can pedal faster than the boat actually wants to go, and it, you know, kind of creates a cavitation in the prop. But so it's kind of educating people about, you just can't, just because you can pedal it faster, the shape of the boat shapes in general have a hull speed, from whitewater boats to touring kayaks to fishing boats. But what you realize with a pedal drive, or particularly our system, is it comes down to, it's crazy maneuverable. You can back up, you can go forward, you know, you can be fishing standing up and hit that pedal one round, and the prop turns 10 times to back you up or to go forward. So it really is a very maneuverable machine. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the Mariner for us has just gone berserk. We had to quit taking orders for the thing in April. We couldn't make. We were ordering 50 drive units at a time. That's the only thing that we get offshore. 50 at a time and now we're ordering 600 at a time. So
wow.
It's really taken off, and we're really proud of it, and people seem to like it.
Well, very cool. Awesome. Any other questions for Woody? You guys get them in. We got to start wrapping her up soon. It's getting past our 9 o'clock hour. Well, Woody, we really appreciate you coming in and filling everybody in on the Slayer. And
yep.
Thanks for inviting me.
And you know, I always like talking to you, Mark. You and I talk a couple times a week, and I really like being a part of the fishing scene. Again, having a career for 30 years and staying at a high level in whitewater is, you know, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I can still go in whitewater. But this new venture that I'm in with the fishing is really exciting for me, and I really like meeting. Maybe I've met one bad person, but not many.
And now you know what the hell a jig head is, right? Now you know.
Yeah, I know what a jig head is. I got to say, the first time I heard somebody say jig head, I was like, what? You get shot
where
I live.
It was Neil and I. That was funny as crap up to everybody. Yeah, Woody came down to Florida like we were talking about. We went and fished. And we were on there, and Neil was talking. And I don't know. I asked Neil a question. I was like, what size jig head should I use or something? And Woody just stopped. We're filming. We're paddling. And Woody just stopped the whole show. What the heck did you guys just say? And I was like, I asked him what size jig head to use. What is a jig head? And it was game on the rest of the day from there.
So. Yeah, I've learned a lot. I love it. It's been really fun. You know, I think it's awesome. And it's kind of like, I tell people, I was like, it was kind of like golf. You know, I'm not a golfer, but I've hit a golf ball a few times, and catching a fish, catching your first fish, it's crazy. It's like that one good golf shot that you're like,
get you going back.
I'm doing that again. You know, that's the way fishing was to me. You know, typically, you know, I fished and finally caught one, and I was like, oh, I get it. This is awesome. It was really fun. And so I'm super excited to learn more and just to go fishing, man. I guess the best way to learn is to go, right?
That's right. On the water. Get your time in. Well, we look forward to having you up here for the boondoggle, and before that, you'll be up here hopefully with the Slayer, and we can get on the water and put you on some fish in the Slayer with your jig head and all.
Oh, I'm ready to roll. And, you know, again, we're going to do this one more show and come down to visit you guys and do a little tour down through Florida. So if anybody wants to go fishing with us, I'll post it up on the Native site where we're going to be and who we're going to be fishing with. And, hey, the more the merrier. I'll buy the PBRs.
Very cool. Our Monday night host, Redfish Chuck, who's in the chat room tonight. I don't know if you've ever listened to Chuck. But anyway, he's in Florida down the Space Coast area. And there's a new kayak shop opening down there, Kayak by Bo. Are you familiar with that store that's opening?
I haven't been yet, no.
Okay, well, it's opening up, and he was just mentioning you that you should come down there. They're having a grand opening, and if Chuck put that up there on the site right now, but I know they're carrying Native products in that store, so.
Oh, we'll stop by there for sure.
That's a great fishery over there, too. You have to get up with those guys on the
Is that around D's area? Where
exactly. It's a little north of D, I believe. Kayaks by Bo. That's right, Chuck. When's the grand opening? I'm trying to get you to put it up there. Quit talking about PBR. August 25th, the grand opening of Kayaks by Bo. So.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me answer some questions. If you have any more, just go to Native Watercraft, ask them. And we're going to be putting up some more videos so people be clued in on what we got. And I can't wait for people to check it out. I hope you like it. And hey, we gave it a good shot.
Very cool. Now, it looks great, man. We appreciate it. You're always welcome on the show, Woody.
All right, brother. Take care, Chris.
Take care, Woody. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I'm trying to get Kim to come to the boondoggle.
That's awesome.
Yeah, better watch out. She'll chat your ear off.
Look.
Bring Mike, too. I know he's there. Tell Mike he needs to come up here and count some fish.
All right. I'm going to get him out of the office, get him to come with me.
That's right. Very cool. All right, Woody. Thanks again.
Everybody, take care
in the chat room. Everybody's saying good night and take care to you, Woody. So.
All right.
Appreciate it, buddy. All right. Well, very cool. Thank you, Woody. That was awesome. Well, hopefully you got your questions answered and you know what's going on now. Super boat to be looking at. Super guy to talk to there, Woody. Woody keeps it real. That's what I enjoy about him. Is it too late to call in? Yeah, fam.
Yes,
we're about ready to go. You down there eating wasabi and stuff. You should have been paying attention sooner.
I'm going to hit the button.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com. The ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. October 5th through the 8th.
That's on special request, just because I know y'all want to hear it, and this is for Joe. It's going to be a while before that one gets old.
All right, everybody. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Thanks, Woody. Native Watercraft, of course. Everybody over at Legacy Paddle Sports. Mark your calendars. October 5th through the 8th. Boondoggle, Virginia Beach. yakangler.com/boondoggle. Please go sign up. Let us know you're coming. We get the head count going. We got to know how many people we're going to have. So just put in there. All you got to do is sign up to Yak Angler, which you should already be signed up to anyway. Go on there and just put down that you're going to attend. That's all you got to do from there on out and show up. As always, if you got any questions, anything we can help you with the boondoggle, don't hesitate to get in touch with either of us. We'll make sure we help you out any way we can. If you're not friends of ours on First Landing Kayak Fishing Facebook page, go check us out. Give us a like. We'll keep you up to date on the fishing as it's happening here. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, it's going right now, so it only gets better here. If you know if you live here, the closer it gets to fall, the better it gets. And as good as it is now, it's going to be great by then. So mark your calendar. That's right, Chuck. We're going to catch some flounder. That's all we're going to worry about is getting Chuck on some flounder. Then we'll move on from there. So y'all take care. Thanks again. Remember to plan your fish your plan. Appreciate you tuning in. Chris, get us out of here.
Remember, people, safety, safety, safety. Take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Tight lines, everybody, no matter where you're fishing.